You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Thursday the 4th of October. And we're going to be racing at Chelmsford, at Huntingdon, at Lingfield and also at Warwick and at Clonmel over in Ireland throughout the course of the day. Do join the guys on Racing Radio. Bobby Beavers is in the company of Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott to take a look at the day's action. Gets underway at 1:20. Here on the podcast, though, my name's John Gibby, and I'm joined by a rarity on the podcast these days. Stephen Powell is with me.
Hello, John. Yes, it is a rare event these days. So much so you had to tell me what I had to do, basically. Yeah. So I knew the latest drill.
We've downgraded it to, well, most of the time, recording it on a phone nowadays. So this is a new experience as well.
Yeah, it is. But technological advances are always to be embraced, I think, John.
Brilliant. Well, we'll take a look at the weekend's racing action in a few minutes' time, but we'll start off with your tips for racing on Thursday. And you've got two selections for us at Huntingdon, and I believe you're going to be at Huntingdon on Thursday working.
Yeah, it's their first meeting back, John, after a break since the end of May. Obviously, like a lot of places, very dry summer, so they have had to water for this first meeting, and we've got eight races now on the card because we've got two divisions of a three-year-old bumper to end the programme, which is a mixture of, pretty slow flat horses and some National Hunt horses who are probably a bit forward for their age. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, the last two divisions of that race as well. But a decent little card, and it all starts at 1:30 on good ground.
So where are you looking for your two potential selections in this meeting, this opening meeting from Huntingdon of the jump season?
I'm going to start off in the 305, which is the novices limited handicap chase over 2 miles. Obviously, 2 miles on good ground, pretty speedy affair, I think it will be at Huntingdon. Not for me, the top weight, who's trained by Nick Gifford, is an interesting runner. He flew a bit high in two races towards the end of last year, one when he was pulled up in the EBF final at Sandown in March, and then he was pulled up again at Sandown when he ran in the novices hurdle final at the end of April. But he did win twice at Sandown and at Kempton over 2 miles, and he also ran well at Taunton and Fontwell in the early part of the season as well, and I think he sets a fair standard. I do think, though, the quicker ground is not going to be ideal for him personally, for Notre Dame, and I think he'll do well over fences as the season progresses, but when the rain comes. Tick in the Box is a horse who's had lots of chances over fences. He's gone up £25 since April in the weights, and I just wonder if that might be catching up with him. So I've settled on McGroarty, who's trained by Dr. Richard Newland, the mount of Sean Bowen. Did well this time last year when he won twice over 2 miles at Market Raisin and at Worcester, and then I think found life a bit tough during the latter part of the autumn and the early spring. Returned from a long break when he finished fifth at Fontwell last time out. Quite a disappointing run, as he was only sent off at 4-1. And he quickly turned his attention to fences. The Newland team are doing really well at the moment. They're in very, very good form as well. And I think having won a point-to-point chasing will be his game. And he's going to be my choice in that race at Huntingdon at 3:05.
McGroarty then for Stephen in the 305 at Huntingdon, and just sticking with Huntingdon for your other selection.
335, John, is the 0-100 handicap over just short of 2.5 miles. Wouldn't really be drawn into 0-100 handicaps very often, to be honest, but the majority of the form, the majority of what's on offer here is pretty moderate, to be honest, from this bunch, and there's not a great deal to get excited about in any way, shape or form. But Maxville, the top weight, carries 12 stone for James Eustace and Jack Quinlan. He's only had 6 starts starts over hurdles, and since switching to handicaps, he's done pretty well at Worcester, Stratford, and then again at Stratford the last start there. Now, I don't think he stayed at Stratford over 2 miles six last time out. He weakened quite notably in the closing stages of that, but he'd ran well over 2 miles two and a half there the time before, and this race is the first 0-100 he's contested. Slight drop in grade in comparison to those races at Worcester and Stratford, and I think it will be easier for him on the afternoon, and he'll be able to give that weight down in grade on a flat track on decent ground to the rest of the opposition, which, as I say, there's quite a few runners, but the opposition isn't strong.
So Maxwell then for Stephen Nubber section at Huntingdon 3:35 the race up. That one runs him. So that is Huntingdon on Thursday. You can hear the whole meeting on Racing Radio in addition to the rest of the day's action, of course. Now turn our attention to what's coming up on the weekend, Stephen. And well, we'll get onto the ARC in a minute. We'll get your thoughts on that race. We've been speaking about it so far this week on the podcast. But what we'll touch on first is a race that we haven't actually mentioned on the podcast so far this week, and that is the Group 1 Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket on Saturday. Before we started recording the podcast today, I did sort of start having a bit of a joke and saying, oh, it's sort of the Group 1 that isn't. But this year it is a pretty decent renewal.
Yeah, it's a very good renewal. Betting is available with William Hill at the moment. John, at the time of recording, Lawrence is the favourite at 9-4 off the back of her obviously pretty good season with wins in the Matron at Leopardstown, the French Oaks at Chanté, and the Prix Saint-Alary at Longchamp. Obviously, of course, and distance winner here when she won the Filly's Mile last year and was runner-up in the Guineas as well. So sets a very solid standard, Lawrence. And her defeat of Alpha Centauri last time out, probably a career best for her, even with the subsequent retirement of the runner-up.
But I was going to say, are we at risk of overrating that run because Alpha Centauri was injured during the race?
I personally don't think so. No, not when you look at the positionings of Clemmy, Magical and Happily, third, fourth and fifth, all Group 1 winners as well themselves. I think that Alpha Centauri maybe didn't run to her best, but Lawrence had bettered anything she'd shown previously at the same time. I don't think they were mutually exclusive, if that makes sense. But there is good opposition to her. Wind Chimes, who is trained in France by André Farb, and he's got a pretty good record in the race as well, won it as recently as 2015 with Iso Terik. She was touched off by Recalitos in the Prix de Moulin against the boys last time out, and there were some strong horses in behind her that day, the likes of Expert Eye, who finished back in third, and Lightning Spear in fifth without parole as well when you go further down the list. Voracious, winner of a Group 3 last time out at Sandown, very impressively for Sir Michael Stout. Frankie De Torre's booked to ride. Clemmy's in the entries. Icon Fly's in the entries. And Al Jazzy, who won at Royal Ascot, is in the entries. We've also, as well, got the two Guineas winners in there from Britain and France. Bilsden Brook, 14-1. And Teppel, who's trained by David Simcock, 16-1. Despite the fact that Teppel's only ran one bad race in her life, which was at the Royal Meeting. She was unbeaten in three starts before then. So I think the fact that you've got two Guineas winners at double figure prices suggests that it could be a very hot renewal.
Anyway, you'd be looking at this relatively early stage?
At this early stage, not original to be honest, but I think Lawrence will still take all the beating. She's such a game filly. She's got good form over course and distance. She bounced back from the York run at Leopardstown last time out, and they said straight away Sun Chariot's the aim, and she's definitely, undoubtedly, the one to beat.
Danny Tudhope riding instead of PJ McDonald. Was he riding in the Group 1, the Matron, last time
yes.
out? Was that after PJ McDonald?
Yes, it was, yeah. Not long after, actually. But yeah, Danny was an able deputy that day, and he'll be taking the reins again.
OK, and last but not least, well, certainly not least, we'll take a look at the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe on Sunday. Of course, Europe's premier flat race in the eyes of many, many people, including myself. And it's very interesting this year, Stephen, because we've got a feel for me where, as we talk on Wednesday, at their best, if this entire field come and run to their very highest level, I think we could have a very good renewal of the ARC. The question is whether a lot of the runners are going to be in a position to do that.
Yes, I think that is a very, very good question, and a very good point. If they do run to the best, it could be a good renewal, but for varying reasons, I don't think all of them will. Whether they're not going to be suited by conditions, they've had long seasons, their form has been a bit disappointing, you know, the last two or three times, etc., etc. So you've got Enable, Shade of Odds on, obviously everybody was really impressed with her return at Kempton in the September Stakes when she won impressively. We all know fillies have got a good record. I've got no problem really with the track because she's been shown a lot of versatility. She's won up, down, left and right throughout her career. And obviously Sea of Class, who's been supplemented on Wednesday for it, for William Haggas. And James Dawes likely to ride again, winner of the Yorkshire Oaks. So two strong fillies at the top. Walt Geist for André Farb was impressive in the pre-foil last time out. But generally, his form from last season wasn't quite good enough. And I'm still not convinced his form from this season is quite good enough either.
The most important thing is I'm glad you're with me on pre-foy. People keep on telling me I should be calling it the pre-foy, apparently, because it sounds more French.
That's not right, John.
Well, so, that's what I keep telling them. So.
Yes, we're singing from the same hymn sheet with that one. His nose defeat of Coronet, for example, in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud is not good enough form to win for Walt Geist. And whilst he is trained by an absolute master in André Farb, I don't think he's quite got the level of the other two fillies. Cracksman, is he going to run? Is he not going to run? Kew Gardens has had a long season and had a fairly hard race in the Ledger, which, although he beat a very good horse in Lartidar, I don't think it was a stronger renewal necessarily when you look further back down the list that people made it out to be. Study of Man has not matched his French Derby form in his two runs since winning at Chantilly either. And then you're getting down 40, 50 to one bar those, really. So the one at a price, if he runs, I would be mildly interested in, is Capri, last year's William Hill St. Ledger winner, who did win a very strong renewal of the St. Ledger, which has been highlighted several times already this year. But just for reiteration, he beat Crystal Ocean, Stradivarius, Rekindling, Coronet, Defoe was well down the field, and lots of them have been beaten. So it was a very good renewal. Proved that he still held his form when he won first time out this year, and then was behind Walt Geist when he was next seen 5 months later in the pre-foy at Longchamp, in a messy race, which wouldn't have suited him. Small field, been off for a while. We know Aidan O'Brien has generally come on for a run after a bit of a break, and I think he may well do if he lines up, because they will go a better gallop, I think, in the arc than last time out with the bigger field. So at a big price, he's 50 to 1 with William Hill at the moment. If he runs, I thought that was too big for him.
Yeah, again, we're talking about British and Irish challenges as being the leading lights in the arc this year. If you're French, are you a little bit disappointed with the apparent lack of proper Group 1 horses, perhaps excluding World Geist from that, that the country is producing at the moment?
Yeah, I would think so, to be honest, because you've got the French Derby winner in there, and without being rude, nobody really gives a monkeys, do they?
So, straight to the point.
Yeah, no one's interested in Study of Man whatsoever. You've got the likes of Cloth of Stars and Talismanic, who've, on their best, have got good bits of form and would be entitled. I mean, obviously, Talismanic has got really good form from last year, and so too has Cloth of Stars, second to In April in the arc 12 months ago. But he's got nowhere near that form in his six runs since then, Cloth of Stars. And so, therefore, you're questioning whether he's going to be able to bounce back, you know, when he's had six chances to do so already and hasn't managed to.
The Arc comes up on Sunday. It's live on Racing Radio. Another edition of the podcast to come tomorrow. Stephen, thanks for being with us today.
Well done, John. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.